You've found the podcast where driving matters. Whether you haul, commute, or cruise, we want you to love what you drive.
We're here to help you find usability and fun. From first-time buyers to jaded experts, we believe everyone is one great car away from being car-obsessed. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul. And this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
So we promised you that we would. We would go to the ring and spa again, and we've done that.
Yes.
And then we do the thing that we promise and we do every time we're here, and that is we gather with the people that came with us so they can talk about the trip, and they make those that are listening jealous they didn't come on the trip. Because that's really where we're at.
Absolutely. We wish you all were here, but we are with the people who are here with us, and
it's awesome.
It's almost a homecoming, mm-hmm. But big thanks to the RSR folks. They are genuine friends, and it's nice to introduce all of you mm-hmm. to our friends at RSR. And they were very happy to see us.
It was
They've
really
been
cool.
Very yeah. generous. It's just yeah. nice to see everybody, and there's a level of normality to what we're doing now, which mm-hmm. is nice.
Yeah.
I'm very curious as to hear from people here. We do have the legendary Ted Pitts with us,
yes.
Hot Laps in the taxi in the GT4.
Yes, absolutely. He's come on every single trip we've done and probably four or five times as many trips as we've done since then. He was on our very first trip.
Yeah, he was.
And then he's
yeah.
been on every trip since then and a bunch more. He was traveling during COVID somehow and still driving cars. But yeah. we are back, which is awesome. We have done, for those of you that are listening, we have done a little more than half the trip. We had our day on spa yesterday, not the spa day you've ever heard about. This is the one on the track. So we were at spa yesterday. Today it was a road tour through awesome roads in Germany. And then tomorrow you guys are on the ring. So you haven't done that yet. You can't talk about it yet, unfortunately. But we'll get you on camera later talking about it. But for now, let's talk about spa. Let's talk about road tour. Let's talk about the trip in general. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you can talk about anything that has been a favorite so far. Like Todd said, we have not been on the ring yet, but we expect a great day tomorrow, and the weather's holding. Weather's
yep.
looking good,
yep.
so we're looking at all the factors that race teams do, of course. But we're not out there racing. We're just having fun driving. So you can talk about favorites. You can talk about something that has struck you about yourself, what you've learned about your own self in driving or mm-hmm. you know your own limits, pushing cars on track, or just general impressions of the trip. But ultimately, we want to make it a nice trip. And that's why I'm constantly asking, are you having fun? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you're yeah. fast or slow. It really doesn't. Ultimately, we want to come away with great laps and learning about yourself and getting to know cars. And then, of course, today was the road tour. So
yeah, everybody got in all anybody, kinds of things today. We had what did we have? We had an M240. We had an M2. We had another M240. We had a Cayman, what was it, the 718 GTS?
718S.
718S.
And a 981 GTS.
That it was then further tuned because the RSR tuned, guys
yeah.
like to do that.
So the engines are very different.
Yeah.
It makes power very differently. And we had the GT4, mm-hmm. a new GT4 with us, which was nice. And last but not least, Rob, I'm going to call you out. He loves the I30N. So if you would, as you talk, just introduce yourself, your first name,
yeah.
and tell us a little bit about your impressions of the trip so far. Rob is trying to get everyone on board with the I30N. Of course, it's the running gear and the Veloster underneath. And we love that car. Mm-hmm. It's an
yeah,
excellent
it's
car.
It's very cool.
I just love that it has stuck out to you, and it was so unexpected. That's my favorite part so far. You know, you have this revelatory thing. I had no idea the car was this good or this bad. But, you know, ideally all the cars were good here. But, yeah, anybody want to start? Just give us your name and tell us your impressions so far. I'm curious.
Well, I have a question for somebody if they want to answer this question, and that is, has anybody got something that they want to share that has surprised them so far about this trip? I mean, you kind of knew what you were in for, but you're over here doing it now. So has anybody got anything that surprised them?
Name's Andrew. long time coming to the trip,
yep.
as we know.
You tried it last time. Now
yeah.
you're here for real. Yeah.
Yeah. Check on your passports, folks.
sure, the expiration. What was it, 6 months out?
Not two? 2 months when Germany would only accept if it was more than three.
Okay, good. So. Good for everybody to know. Just
all good. Learn from my mistakes, folks.
All right, go ahead.
Don't do the same. But definitely the most surprising part was actually how comfortable I was on the track after, one, riding along with Ted. And then mm-hmm. I got out and with the instructor. And after only a few laps with traffic, it was kind of like no worse than dealing with texters on the road. So, you know, I just was a little surprised where it's like, okay, we're going along at 140 or so miles an hour down the main straight. And it's like, all right, no big deal. So definitely big takeaway was just, hey, comfort with speed, comfort
speed,
with traffic.
Speed is your drug.
I haven't been on an open track day yet. So limited track experience before this, but the guys at RSR, and then thank you, Ted. Thank you guys. Didn't know that was possible. So well, that's just a big takeaway.
You know, we've got a variety of track experience, a variety of vehicles. We have people who have tracked bikes, people who have done a lot of autocross, but many people haven't even been on track before, and it doesn't matter if you haven't. We've got instructors, we've got like-minded people here at these track days. So these people have come, and it's been great. You know, hopefully, you know, great. You've had the experience now. So, yeah, anybody else?
Yeah, Scott, just with the limits of the GT4 with Ted driving it on track, it just, I thought I was a reasonable driver. I'm not a reasonable driver. Driving at 30% capacity of the car. And then with Ted taking that hot lap and feeling what the brakes, the cornering, and the acceleration, and just how he's timing everything, the balance of the car, there's so much to learn. And then on the road tour, just the difference between the I-30N on the road tour, how that is a blast on the road.
Mm.
And so just finding the different limits of different cars and different scenarios, and it just better puts in picture that, you know, I'm looking at getting, you know, different sports cars, and it's like, actually, leave that sports car for the track time, like a specific track car, and then something for the road that you're going to enjoy more. And the limit on the road is something that I learned about myself, because it was more, you know, that you always want the more power, you know, that you can actually use, but I wasn't using it on the road anyways. And it's way more fun on the track to learn what your limits are and push that car. And then when you're on the road, like on the road tour, I had a ton of fun in the M2 and in the I-30N more than I did in the GT4 on the road tour, but that was me, because that's where they belong to me naturally. That's what I learned.
That's cool. Anybody else have a surprise they want to share on the trip or something that they've learned so far?
So I'm Rob. The thing that I think surprised me more than anything else, so I've looked forward to this trip for a while, track time, driving time, but actually I've had just as much fun, maybe more fun, just hanging around with a bunch of car guys. You know, it's just this many car guys, that just doesn't happen for me. So it's so the surprise, I think, for the trip for me has just been, you know, to be back in that environment. Like, it's just been a really good group from, you know, the very first minute everybody got together in Frankfurt Airport, and it's just been, you know, laughs ever since. So I'd say that's also, you know, the non-car things here are still cool car things. So it's been a lot of fun that way.
That's awesome. While people are thinking, I will have Todd tell his story with Ron, interjecting while y'all are thinking about what you want to share. You should tell your experience with laps with Ron.
Oh, yes. Yes. Our friend Ron Simons, who runs RSR Racing. So that RSR is Ron Simons Racing. And he's the person that, if you've watched our pilgrimage film, we've used RSR since then, when Paul and I were stumbling through this experience. And we've become real friends with them. And it's been really cool to be back, as Paul said earlier.
Yeah.
They've been treating us like, where have you guys been? Like long-lost friends. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
So I get to see Ron at the track. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, glad you're back, and we're having that conversation. It's really cool. And he goes away to do his stuff, and I'm doing mine, and I don't think about it. And later he walks by, and he goes, hey, can I take you for a fast lap in the 488 Pista, the Ferrari? And when Ron asks that, you go, yeah, I'll go get a helmet.
Say no.
So yeah. Up to that point, I'd done a few laps that I'd driven, actually in the Cayman GT4 RS. We have that piece coming. We did a bunch of Porsche GT cars,
yeah,
which we're doing a film on that. I can't wait to share. That's going to be really, really cool.
Been a good week.
So I know you're shocked, Paul. So I had done that. I'd also ridden with a lot of people that came with us. I'd been on track quite a few times already that day.
Yeah.
Ron, because he's in charge and he rented the track for the day, we get in the Ferrari. He left pit lane at twice the assigned speed. Now, granted, on pit lane he was going fine, but he left pit lane at twice the assigned speed, fishtailing the entire time. He's headed down out of pit lane toward Eau Rouge Radion, and by the time he's halfway down the hill, we're going as fast as anybody that came in with speed. So he hammers his way through Eau Rouge Radion, and then he proceeds to do every single corner some level of sideways. Now, not slow, steady, smoky sideways. Not like, I'm just going to drift this for fun. No, I'm going to disrupt the car as much as I possibly can while going as fast as I possibly can. And at one point, I thought, I need to watch his feet. Because I thought, okay, hang on, is he left foot braking? No. He's got his left foot as casual, not even pushing back, as I can tell by his leg, as casual as can be over there on the dead pedal, while he is forcing this car to hyper-rotate. And we had one corner two-thirds of the way through the track where he got too far sideways. And he says, cold as ice, that's a little bit too much. And then we kept rocking. One lap. We didn't even do one of the straights because we left the pit lane, did the rest of the track, came back in the pit, and it was like, well, thanks for that. It's just, he was driving. He was having a totally different day than everybody else on the track. He was driving a different style, and it was fantastic.
Well, so the day went by.
Mm-hmm.
We were out on track more. Lunch happened, which was great, and then we got back out on track. The day was excellent. The weather was warm, and then late in the day, Sergio came by.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, hey, Paul, Ron wants to take you for laps. Again, when Ron says, get in the car, you don't say no.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I grabbed a helmet, jumped in the car, and we're sitting there idling for a moment, and he's scrolling through his iPhone. And I looked over, and he's looking at his music collection. And I thought, oh no.
And I'd already told you about my lap.
There's going to be tunes while we're doing this? Okay, because usually, you know, you're in full concentration mode. You're just listening to the engine. You're listening to your gear changes. You're listening for traffic. You know, hearing the car is a big part of the experience. And no, we're looking for good music for the laps. And so he chooses Bryan Adams, the song Open Road. And I had the same experience as you. We set the stereo, and he twisted the knob as far as it goes. So it was as loud as the stereo can play in the Ferrari. Mm-hmm. It's a great stereo, by the way.
There's your surprise of the trip. The Ferrari piece to stereo is surprisingly good.
Apparently it's good. And so we left the pits, also fishtailing, mostly sideways, and hit Eau Rouge at a speed I didn't know cars could do.
Mm-hmm.
Ron has been doing this for a little while.
Yeah.
And we hit Eau Rouge just as Bryan Adams broke into the chorus of Open Road, and it was like he timed it. And I was laughing out loud the whole way. So at this point, Ron is now catching up to the people who are serious about their track day. They're in the GT3 RSs, and they're there to be serious and have a good track time and get good laps in. And Ron is coming up on them and backing off, and he's sideways. And just, it's an entertainment. And the windows are down, and so it's really loud. The car is at 9,000 RPM. So I have not been on board with Ferraris at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I love the old Ferraris. But I will admit a new level of respect, especially for the 488 Pista.
While driven by Ron.
While driven specifically by Ron. Because, again, every corner, I thought he was going to drift Eau Rouge. Not slow, burny, smoky, you know, like most people want to kind of show off. No, he does it at speed. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at 224 up Eau Rouge. Maybe a little fishtaily.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do that, huh? Cars can do that. I didn't know that. And so we did the entire lap kind of behind all these people, and he would catch up to people, and it seemed like they were parked on the track because Ron was driving, and finally made our way through the pack, got to the bus stop, and he turned left.
Another lap. Look at you. You're special.
So now we can actually get after it. We can, you know, get some work done here, and so dove into La Source, full sideways opposite lock, and he hung on to it. And there were cars coming onto the track, and we were sideways past the cars entering the track. I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is what we're doing.
Well, anytime we think, and granted, we're here, you know, once a year for a day or so, and you know, we've done a lot of tracks, a lot of places, and we're competent drivers.
Mm-hmm.
We are not race drivers. Ron has race history.
He does.
In his backyard. He's in them all the time.
Constantly.
And so if you want to recalibrate how good a driver you are, you just do a lap with Ron and you go, okay, I don't even know what that was. Because whatever I do, that guy called driving is not equivalent to that.
It was fast. Ron proclaimed the 488 Pista as, Paul, this car is rock and roll. And he's right.
Apparently.
It is rock and roll.
He declared it and it's right for sure, yeah.
So what else Ron did with us was take us for a track walk. And we've been for a track walk with Ron. And we usually stop at two or three places. Now, this year, you probably know that Spa-Francorchamps has been repaved. New asphalt, I believe, all the way around, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Specifically Eau Rouge. The new grandstands are in. And so we stopped there at Eau Rouge and got a great talking to by Ron. And it was solemn at that point. So this was in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts from you guys on what to expect from Eau Rouge? Because when you see it on camera in the Formula One race, it looks like a bump, does it not? Ron took us to the very top, and we all had the chance to walk down to the very bottom and sort of look back up.
Yeah.
So this is Bryan, and this has actually been my first time on track ever, with the exception of a drag strip.
Love it.
Ron took us up there, got us out of the vans, and had us look downhill. You can't see that second turn when you're coming up. It was actually Ted that mentioned to me, hey, you want to go straight here. Mm-hmm. If you go straight, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I followed Ted's advice. I just went straight mm-hmm. every time and did just fine.
That's what's great about that track walk is to walk down it and to see how different it is when you're walking it than when you're driving it, because there's a place in the middle of the hill up toward Radillon where it actually rolls out a bit, and you don't know it in a car, but you know it when you walk it, and then you realize why the car is changing its attitude halfway up the hill, so that's bizarre. Anybody else have a thought of something they've learned or been surprised by, or hey, how about a car on the road tour that you were like, oh my gosh, I had no idea?
Yes, this is Ted. So I've been on the road tour for a few different times, so I'd driven most of the cars that were on the road tour before, but also most of them I've driven on track over the past 6 years. So the only car that I was really excited to drive on the road tour was the i30N. And first, I agree totally with Rob. That was a fun car. It gave so much confidence in the corners. I really enjoyed that. And we had a nice little section around the Moselle River to, take it up the hill and then back down the hill. And we landed at the Moselle River again. So, kudos to the route planning that we managed to, go from the river back to the river in a very fun way. And but when we were doing this is a bigger trip than we've had before, mm-hmm. right? There were more people.
Yep.
And, we had 8 cars on the road tour, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's only so many times we're going to stop. And, you're not going to be able to get into all the cars because there's just not enough time.
Right, right.
And so since I'd driven them, I was like, okay, well, I'll be a passenger, because we had, more people than cars, so we had to have, a few people be passengers each time. And when you first mentioned that we had, more people than cars, I thought, oh, that's too bad, because, everyone wants to be driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, well, I don't need to be driving, so I'll be a passenger. And I think I found it more fun pairing up on the road tour, because in previous years it was a very solitary experience, because you're just driving alone, and we didn't have radios in the past, and so you're kind of alone for a half an hour trying to follow a train of cars and hoping you get all the turns right. So the radios helped, but it was just more fun because as we were paired up, you're just sitting there talking about the car, talking about the road, talking about life in some cases with someone, and I think it made the whole day for me much more fun than previous road tours, even though I wasn't the one driving for the majority of the time.
That's cool.
That's good to know, actually, because you think if you're a passenger, you're not getting the fun of driving. But I'm glad to hear that you guys were being philosophical and solving world problems. That's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's what happens when you come here. You track day and you solve the world's problems.
That's
some
right.
of the conversations with a group this size, some of the conversations that have happened at the meals have shocked me. We have been so far away from anything related to driving, I've just had to laugh. That's been amazing as well. We've had good meals. We've had good hotels. I mean, we always try to make this trip as awesome as possible. And the big thing for us is we want, when you guys get here to when you leave, you don't think about anything but just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big way we set it up, and I'm glad you guys are enjoying yourselves. Any other thoughts that are striking anybody?
Cars that were a surprise? I mean, we've got a GT4 Cayman in the group, so, people liked that. But, I think there were some surprises. People liked it more than they thought they were going to.
This is Bo, and one thing that really struck out to me is, Ron is a character of his own, right? He is a caricature of a man that impresses upon everybody who manages to encounter him. And the outfit that he runs is also equally impressive in my eyes. Now, I've been to not as many track events as Ted, per se, or even you guys, but I've done my fair share, and I've gotten some decent experience. So when I saw, Oroge, I didn't immediately freak out. I had a few expectations there, but the outfit, the way that RSR runs their outfit, I thought was actually particularly noteworthy, because not only are there about 100 million people, it seems, even though it just might be like 24, there's like 100 million people running around doing everything, car prep, fueling the cars, getting them clean, dealing with the people who need to be driving, dealing with the people who need to be passengers, dealing with every single customer they have, and they're all doing it with a grin on their face, and they're very supportive about everything that we're doing. And it's great that you guys have such a good, strong relationship with them, because I think that allowed us to see a side of them that we probably may not have seen if we were just regular customers, and they were just super nice to us, and I got an incredible experience with my instructor And, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. You should probably always sit with an instructor and at least talk to them, if not ride with them. And I got a lot of really illuminating things. And originally I'd asked for the RSR Modified Cayman GTS, and they'd put me in the 718 Cayman S instead. And that's a phenomenal car, the 718. But once half the day went through and I was actually managing to get into one of those RSRs and I jumped at the chance for it, and I was blown away by what the modifications that RSR did to the car. Because as somebody who obviously cares too much about his lap times, I'm probably going to be one of those GT3s that Ron's going to terrify at some point. But as one of those guys, as I got into that car and built up confidence in it, the amount that those, you know, relatively simple, relatively cohesive tweaks that they made to the car just blew me away about how good it was. I was carrying speeds in those corners that basically were keeping me up with the other GT3s and GT4s that I really had no business hanging out with. And it was there, and I was screaming like a little girl because it was so fast. But at the same time, the car stuck. It stuck, and I was there, and I was blowing past people, and it was incredible. And that's all due to the way that they run their outfit. I managed to get Sergio, my instructor, afterwards, and he is incredible. I don't want to sound trite, but, you know, he makes you discover things about yourself you never knew. And that's not always car-related, although in this case it's very much car-related. So it's not.
Hopefully car-related.
But, yeah, he helped me find speed in almost every single corner, and I'm not exactly a slouch. I am nowhere near as good as Ted or anybody else like that, but I do okay, and what I did was okayer, you know? It was
all right.
It was great. All right.
Summertime's here, and that means it is car wash season. And my friend Paul tells me I'm always supposed to wash a car in a cool, shady spot. I don't always do that well, but I do use the Brilliant Finish Foaming Sprayer, or actually I use the Boss Foam Cannon from Griot's Garage. You have to use this. It's awesome. If you're a person like me who's not good at this, it makes it far easier. You create a high foam blizzard right in your driveway with little to no work, which I really like. You avoid wash-induced scratches. It is the safest way to wash your car. Try the Griot's Garage Foaming System complete kit today and see what the foam is all about.
Griot's also has a full ceramic family of products, including Speedshine, Wash & Coat, and 3-in-1 Wax.
All Griot's Garage products are 100% guaranteed, and all liquid products are made in the USA. When you're ordering at griotsgarage.com, use the code EDRIVER for 15% off liquids and 10% off everything else on your order. That's G-R-I-O-T-S. Enjoy the finest quality car care products you can buy at griotsgarage.com.
Spa-Francorchamps has a new section of track, and it's at Turn 9, Speaker Corner. They have carved a new section through, and Lawrence, you did both. They opened that up in the morning session for the new section of track, and then they opened the old section right at Turn 9. You can carry a lot of speed through the old section. What did you think about that? But, yeah, tell us.
So the biggest surprise wasn't good. I wasn't going to talk about that. I was going to talk about how I got to rode in the GT4 RS that okay. I didn't even expect to be here yes. in the first place. And it was the first time that you drove it, Paul.
Yeah.
And you didn't go slow, let's just say that.
We had some fun. We were
halfway through the lap, we were just laughing like little girls.
I can't believe a car does that.
The whole time, I was just... my mind was blown at how capable it was. But, yeah, the new corner was very fun both ways. The new style was a little bit trickier because it was a little bit more narrow. But when you get it right, it felt great. It felt like you did the most amazing job in the world. Even with the elevation changes, even with the tighter corner, it felt great. But the traditional one, the usual corner... wasn't bad either.
No, and there's many tracks that it can have different configurations, but this is notable for Spa. I mean, there's been changes to Spa in the past, certainly, but Ron also told everybody at the track walk that people were preferring the new corner. It sounds sacrilegious, especially to track rats and car enthusiasts. You changed the track, you did what? And he said, a lot of people prefer this corner. They wanted to leave the old one coned off and let's take the new one. So you have to get on the brakes a lot earlier. It's a sharper turn, so your line is new. But kind of like Ron was doing, it's an entertainment. We're there to be entertained and learn something new. And I thought it was great, too. So it was appreciated. And, you and I had some fun in that GT4 RS. I can't believe that we got to drive it.
That was a shock, and that will be part of a YouTube video that we're producing. Three cars in that, and they're all race cars from Porsche, but I'm shocked at that car, and it's one of those cars that everybody says, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Well, they're kind of right anyway. So more on that.
Paul liked the Porsche. That's weird.
Yeah, I liked a lot. It was good. So let's see. What else? What else do we have? Brian, you wanted to say some.
So it's kind of funny because you just mentioned, we're all here not only to have fun but to learn. And one thing
constantly.
Exactly. And, I do try to go into everything in my life with a learning mindset.
Okay.
And I realized sometimes I flip that off. That almost the second to last time that I went out, was on a lap. I got through the double left just fine. Actually, mm-hmm. It was the best time that I went through the double left, period.
Okay.
I let my ego get a little hold of me. I gunned it a little more than I should have. And in that very next turn, ended up cooking it too hot and ended up right into the gravel.
Yeah, gravel is new for Spa as well. And they've indicated they want bikes back at Spa, some supermoto. So gravel is new. But you know what? I love that you were addressing each corner with enthusiasm, but you were trying to learn each corner. And I think your line changed throughout the day. Certainly when you and I went out in the morning, I know your line changed through the afternoon.
Well, yeah. And I'd also say that in addition to that, it's the big takeaway is don't let your ego get away from you when you're on any track, let alone Spa.
Nobody's going to admit they're a bad driver. Like, oh, we're all race car drivers. We're all really good, right?
And always go into it with a learning mindset,
Yeah, we definitely like that. And that's just the thing. I was talking at the dinner table with some folks, and I love this sport. I love this hobby because it's something you can continually learn. It's not
I
don't have an example, sailing or something like that.
Well, but it's also something that you don't get too
constantly,
old for.
You don't get too old for, but there's always the next thing to aspire to. There's mm-hmm. always mm-hmm. something new to learn. There's always something to work on personally, and it feels like an accomplishment when you do get it right. And you got Double Gauch right.
About
time. Well, so there was that sense of progress and accomplishment, which I love.
Yeah, the gravel traps was a totally new thing. And when I say gravel, please understand we're talking like the one-inch stone stuff. They just suck you up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the thing.
Very different.
And it's so new and different that RSR even told us if you wind up in the gravel pit, that's just life. We'll come tow you out. So, right. So I don't want anybody listening to get the impression that Brian gets in the gravel pit because it's way over there and, oh, my gosh, how dare you.
Yeah.
It's in some places, it's like there's the line of the edge of the track and here's gravel.
Yeah, it's just off the curb.
So I was very surprised by that. And then, of course, no surprise, the GT3 dispenser is still working very well.
It does. It's
they're everywhere. There were trains of GT3s.
Nothing's changed. But then with the lap with Ron, he came up behind the train.
Of course.
And kind of backed off a little bit and slithered around, and we played some music and laughed a little bit, and then we'd gun it again and catch up and kind of wait for them to get going. And they're on a line looking in the rearview mirrors like, serious, lap time. What's that in the a Ferrari sideways behind me?
Catching me at the same time. So, and of course, Paul and I are driving around the track, and I'm sure that nobody watching us driving around the track realizes that this slow guy in front of them is also talking to camera at the same time.
Yeah,
well, so we were doing that and loving that. That was really cool. Road Tour is always great for me because I can't believe how much this doesn't look like the U.S. I know that is Captain Obvious, but that's the whole thing that we've tried to fine-tune on this road tour is just let's show you stuff that feels like I'm in Germany. We had really fast Autobahn speeds. We had really cool, dense forests. You're like, oh, it's a big German forest. But down by the river, spires, churches, castles, stuff where you're like, oh, this does not happen back home.
It was nice. We deliberately went out of our way. So we started at Spa. Spa's, of course, the first day, and we went the long way. We came back, had a great lunch in Berncastle Q's, and it's become it's a great part of the trip, mm-hmm. I think.
Agreed.
And we're winding through crazy roads. There's been some construction, which has made us detour through some weird areas we never expected. I mean, one lane wide.
We were practically farmers this morning. Yeah.
We were out there in the country going, where's the track? I know there's a track around here somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have things to do. But that was really nice. And, yeah, just being in Germany, it just feels good to travel again and get out and, you know, have a trip like this, especially with you guys, and make it fun because, I, like I said, I love the discovery that people are going through. So,
anything else anybody want to share or thinking about the trip?
Cars that struck them.
Yeah. Not struck literally.
But not struck literally, but...
Hey, this is Victor. So before our day at Spa, I had never been on a track before. So my first track day ever was at the famous Spa. So I'm beginning my foray into sports cars and sports driving. And today on the road tour, you know, I got to drive a few of the cars, the M2, M240, the I30N. And on the last leg of the trip, I did manage to catch some seat time in the Cayman GT4. And one thing that really surprised me about that was just how capable cars can be. That has been the highest performance car I've ever been in, ever. So when I was driving it, I was just so surprised about what its capabilities were. It literally redefined what sports cars meant. It was in a whole another league.
I'm going to go ahead and write that down for the Porsche tagline next time they need a slogan. Send that into them.
Yeah, so
they'll like that.
It literally redefined the golden bar at what sports cars mean and what they can do. So I think that really caught me by surprise. I really had a great time driving that car. I had a great time on track. Like I said, I'd never been on track before.
That's huge, man.
Yeah.
Really, that's a big deal. And I like that you're putting that out there because it doesn't matter that you have or haven't.
No, it really doesn't. It's a great time either way. So long as you're having fun, you know, obeying the rules, listening to your instructors, taking their advice. If you practice and, you know, contemplate all the information given to you, you know, and apply that, you're really going to have a good time. The first lap I went out with Todd. And we were having a pretty good time. For my first time on track, I thought I was doing pretty well. I thought I was going through corners pretty quickly, you know, experiencing the G-forces. And then after that, I tried to get an instructor. And I eventually went out with an instructor named Ben. And, you know, I thought I'd kind of do the same thing, you know, show him, you know, how this, you know, complete newbie is actually, you know, a little bit better than he should be. But he humbled me. For sure. And, you know, he was telling me how he wanted to, you know, dial back my experience and just focus on the basics, focus on the racing line, focus on the vision. And because of his teaching method, it kind of pointed out to me all the things I need to work on. And I also realized about myself that I have, you know, fathoms and leagues of skill that are above me that I can still improve on. And, you know, I was kind of... not upset, but I was hoping I'd be better than I was, but he enlightened me to how much skill there is ahead of me. So, you know, I was trying to take his advice, you know, contemplate upon it, think about it. And, you know, I practiced a little bit more, focusing on the advice I was given. And then I went out with him again a little while later. And that's actually when I started to see improvements. I started to stick to the racing line a bit better. My implants were a little bit smoother. I was going a little bit faster through the corners. And that was actually very evident that I was getting better because Ben admitted himself that for a few laps, he was having actually a lot of fun, you know, being in the car with me and, you know, seeing that progression. So that was another thing that really surprised me as well, is that in one short day, you can go from a complete newbie whose head is a bit bigger than it should be to, you know, getting advice, learning upon it, and having noticeable improvement. So, yeah, lots of surprises each day for me so far, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow on the ring. There's probably going to be a lot more surprises. Oh, yeah.
I love that you're feeling that push, that personal skill. I want to get better. There's much to learn, and this sport is expensive, and we can dump money into it.
Big time.
What else? Anybody else?
Hi, this is Owen. This was my first time. I'm so happy to be part of the group. This was exciting. I'm nervous at the same time. Biggest revelation, Rouge is not flat out. That's my favorite.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, don't do that. Nope, yes. Nobody's flat out on Eau Rouge.
So it was much more different than the simulators, like games. I went out with Paul first time, and then it was great teaching me the racing line. Also with Ben, yeah, they were amazing. Learning the racing line, first time on track, it was great. So happy to be here.
Glad you're here, Matt. That's really cool.
Who else? Rob, you had some?
Yeah. So it's Rob again. So we've talked a little bit about, and you asked me at the beginning, but this I-30 that we keep talking about, which...
well, you drive a Fiesta ST.
Yeah, so I have a Fiesta ST. That's probably... I'm lucky enough to have a few sports cars, Corvette, Miatas. But Fiesta ST, I tend to drive the most. And I just love the feel of that car. But the thing about that I was thinking about it, a lot of people come here, and certainly I did too, to get a taste of some of the unobtainables, right? How often are you going to be in a GT4 or even, an M2 if that's not, around the block and it's not something you've got access to. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, something that you said, Victor, and you should probably tell them, what waits for you when you get home is kind of the bonus to, use your new skills on. But and you do have to tell them. But the other thing I'd say is, and you just said, it's an expensive hobby, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, Scott said it perfectly. It's the cars that are meant to drive are the ones that you just really enjoy. And one of the things that I've noticed as I drive these cars, those ones that are driving centered, from the GT4 down to the I-30, I drove another front-wheel drive car in the experience at Spa, and it just wasn't as good. I expected it to be much better. But that I-30 is just, it's basically a Veloster with different clothes.
Yeah.
And,
of course,
the Elantra N will be coming. So it just reminds you how accessible this hobby can be. You don't have to have the 488 Pista or the GT4 or the Cayman GTS. You can have, what many people wouldn't even notice if it drove by, but you can just have so much fun in them. And certainly we've had a lot of that.
For sure. That's great. That's really good.
All right. Car list that we saw as we close things down here. I saw a Ferrari 612 Scaglietti go onto the track, and I about fell over because why would anybody take a 612 on track? Who told me that it was going really slowly? Somebody told me. Yeah,
Scott. He was technically out there.
Kind of creeping. At least he's on track in a 612, but that is not a track car. It's big and heavy. Precursor to the FF, I saw a Lotus Evora race car. Mm-hmm. What else? Lots of Radicals.
Apollo IE.
That was the key thing. They had three. Somebody's super hypercar collection showed up at one point. They had a Pagani Zonda convertible. The Huayra BC, which is a very rare version of the Huayra, and then they had this Apollo IE and a bunch of models walking around. So one end of the pit lane was not really focused on let's drive. However, they did take each of those three cars out at least for a little bit.
They did.
So they burned the tires a smidge, but I don't think the point was let's get good laps. The point was we have these supercars, we're at Spa in the pit lane, where are the models? Which I thought was really, really weird. The rest of us were actually a little bit more focused on driving than that, but it was crazy to see those cars together, though.
Yeah, and Rob, that's the opposite end of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Did they have more fun on track in the Apollo IE? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. I doubt it. You had fun in that Hyundai. All right, Victor, you've got to share with us what waits for you. Getting something brand new?
Yeah, so what was mentioned before, I do have a little present waiting for me at home. Back in January, I put a deposit down for a brand new ND2 Mazda Miata. Soft top, soul crystal red, 6-speed manual.
Good for you.
It arrived at the dealer while we were on this trip, and I've been getting email updates ever since. It's I'm so excited about it. It's going to be my first sports car I've ever owned, actually. I'm still owning my first ever car, which is, regular 5-speed Jetta. So, first foray into sports cars. I can't wait to learn in it and grow in it. It's going to be a fantastic platform. I'm gonna love that thing for a very long time.
Fantastic. I'm thrilled to hear that. Let's see. Lots of GT3s, a variety.
So many.
A lot of new stuff. A lot of BMWs.
The crazy thing is...
There was a 430 in the garage. Did anyone see it go out on track?
Yes, I saw Tricolore, the tricolor cup car, and the red
430 you might be talking about.
Yeah.
I saw that go out. Trying to think what else.
There were some there were people in radicals that were gunning everybody down on the track, and then there was at least one person in a radical who would gun you down on track and then promptly spin and wind up in the gravel pit. He had a pattern. Yeah. It was like every time they fished him out, the next corner down on the list, he'd do it again. Yeah. So that was happening, which was crazy. I also think it's hysterical. It was dawning on me as we're talking about this. If you get passed by a Porsche on Spa, a 911 on Spa,
mm-hmm.
it is also a GT3. It's not like other Porsche 911s were there. They were all GT3s. It was ridiculous.
It seems crazy.
What was this one? Oh, that's another GT3.
The dispenser is alive and well.
I'm sure we'll see it on Spa tomorrow. I mean, on the ring tomorrow.
On the ring, for sure. A lot of BMWs. It's just great to be in the thick of car culture. And
I saw a Volkswagen Phaeton 5-liter V10 diesel.
I didn't even know they put that engine in that car.
They only sold it here. And it was sitting out front earlier today, and I was like, of course you have one of those. I don't want it.
Well,
but
off
of course
track,
you have it, yeah.
Off track, there's been, like you're talking about, all the car spotting of things mm-hmm. we don't get in North America.
Yes.
And you know, Opels and Skodas and various models, and you know, of course we...
Things you wouldn't expect to see.
We like
yes,
them.
Very true.
It's good news, we also saw Dacia Sandero, too.
Yes, you did. Good news. Bravo, Chance. Yes, that's excellent. We did see that.
Well, so at one point, we were on the road trip, and Chance and Todd were in the vans,
mm-hmm.
and you said you were fishtailing back there a little bit and trying to squeak something out of the van.
Trying to stay with you guys in vans.
I got some wheel spin out of it, yeah. They were front-wheel drive. They were Mercedes Vito, that's V-I-T-O, 116 diesels, basically mm-hmm. a Mercedes Transit van,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the specs on it, doesn't really matter, but
bad.
We were you know,
the specs are bad,
hooning them as much as you could hoon them, but it gave me a real respect for, you know, the old Top Gear thing with Sabine Schmitz driving a Transit van around the ring at 10 minutes,
yeah.
which is what I was doing last time in an M240.
Yeah.
So driving that in a Transit van is just, I have even more respect for her and what mm-hmm. she did, and you know, rest in peace for her, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. We wish you all were here with us, hopefully someday, sometime.
We're coming back. I mean,
we're planning on many
trips. We had a pause button, but we're coming back now. And it's been so great to be here with the RSR guys and to see, yes, there's been changes, but fundamentally, it's the same trip it's been.
Yeah,
which has been nice. It's crazy to be able to come here from the U.S. and not, I mean, as you've heard already here, come with a lot of experience or no experience, and it's accessible either way. And I feel like, you know, we as enthusiasts, we as American enthusiasts, certainly, we idealize these two tracks.
Yeah.
Spa-Francorchamps and the ring. I mean,
this
is the reason we planned this whole trip. It's the reason you and I did our movie. It's because these are the iconic tracks. But then it's easy right behind that to think, yeah, well, it might be cool to stand there and look at it, but that's as far as I'll ever go. So to then take mm-hmm. that headspace and be like, no, I'm currently driving it. And the next time you watch anything about one of these two tracks, you'll be like, oh, I know that corner. Now, I can't do that corner that fast, but I know that corner.
I've gotten out and walked that corner.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us once again in the U.S. July 2. We are back on for Season 11 on the Motor Trend Cable Channel at 7:30 Eastern.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, that is tomorrow, isn't it?
That is Episode 1 of Season 11.
Oh, my gosh.
We will still be here. We have one more episode coming of the podcast that will not be in studio, and then next week we'll be back in studio. We have the Wednesday podcast still going as well. That is the audio versions of our test drive. We promise that the audio quality will get better when we get back to the States.
Yes,
we don't want to leave you guys without a podcast.
For sure. We're always looking forward to next time. Thank you, guys. Cheers, everyone.